Welcome to the Sean Morgan Report. I'm your host, Sean Morgan. We've got Paul Ferber and Jim Cutler, both investigators, researchers, you know, thinkers. It's great to have you guys here. We're going to discuss the breaking news that John Durham has officially indicted Sussman, this Perkins Coie lawyer who was involved with the fake Steele dossier and the Clintons and the Democrats. And what could be coming next? Paul, you've been looking into this and you've been digging around trying to figure out who else is connected, right? And people, the hive mind on Gab has actually given you some names, right?
Yes, it's a very interesting indictment document indeed. Durham released it yesterday. And I've been going through it. And as you say, Sussman was a lawyer with Perkins Coie, and he was right in the middle of the shenanigans that went on in 2016. If you remember, at the end of October, we suddenly had a media blitz with all, you know, the major outlets saying that, oh, look at this, there seems to be a back channel between Trump and a Russian bank called Alpha Bank, ALFA. I think that was around about October the 30th, 2016. So a mere 9-10 days before the actual election on November the 8th, 2016. And of course, the media picked it up and ran with it like crazy. But now we know the truth is that that information was entirely made up. And it was made up on the, you know, on the orders of the Hillary Clinton campaign, and they actually paid for it. At the time, it seemed reasonably damning, although the more information came out, the less damning it became. You know, it was Trump Tower was contacting Alpha Bank, and then that was wrong. It was actually some mail company in Pennsylvania was contacting Alpha Bank. Then it was, no, it's not contacting it at all. It's actually just pinging its domain name service. Domain DNS is the internet system that resolves IP address numbers, you know, sort of 1.2.3.4 into readable names like google.com. So a server at this little mail company in, I think, Lancaster, Pennsylvania was pinging Alpha Bank, and somehow that meant Trump was contacting the Russians. So you see, as time went on, the story got more and more shaky. And now the special counsel, John Durham, who was appointed in April 2019 by William Barr to look at all this stuff, has indicted. Well, earlier this year, he put all this evidence before a federal grand jury, and the grand jury decided to indict. So Durham's document, I mean, I have it here in front of me. It is devastating. It says that, you know, that the defendant, Michael A. Sussman, that the FBI meeting, the FBI investigation into all of this was actually initiated by Sussman himself, that he provided three white papers along to the FBI. The FBI found nothing, by the way, because there's nothing there. And the indictment says that Sussman lied about the capacity in which he was providing those allegations. Specifically, he said he was not doing it for any client, which in fact it was he was doing it for the Clinton campaign. And he was ably assisted by a U.S. technology company, which is labeled in the document as Tech Executive One. Sorry, a U.S. technology executive, I beg your pardon, a person who's labeled as Tech Executive One. Now, that is probably Sean Henry, and the U.S. From company.
At the edge of my seat. Yeah. Which company? Fusion GPS?
Yeah, the U.S. internet company is probably CrowdStrike. The investigative company one is Fusion GPS. Now, the fact that these are all, like, they're not redacted, but they're labeled as Tech Executive One and Instigator One and, you know, Tech Executive Two and
those
Investigator Two.
Are crapping their pants
exactly. This tells me that there's a lot of trouble coming down the line for them. They are not sleeping easy tonight. They wrote all this stuff down, idiots. So now we can read. And interesting, the techie guys know that what they're doing is very weak. And, you know, if anyone's paying attention, then it's going to get debunked straight away. On or about August, I'm reading straight from the indictment here, on or about August 2016, Researcher One emailed the aforementioned recipients, that's Sussman and TechExec One, expressing doubt regarding the Russian bank One allegations that Sussman would later convey to the FBI and raising concerns about the researcher's bias against Trump. So here's the researcher, and he says, let's for a moment think of the best case scenario. We were able to show somehow that DNS communications exists between Trump and Russia. How do we plan to defend against criticism? This is not spoofed traffic we are observing. There's no answer to that. Let's assume again they are not smart enough to refute our best case scenario. You do realize we'll have to expose every trick we have in our bag to even make a very weak association. Let's all reflect on that for a moment. Sorry, folks, but unless we get combined net flow and DNS traffic collected at critical points between suspect organizations, we cannot technically make any claims that would fly public scrutiny. The only thing that drives us at this point is that we just do not like Trump. This will not fly in the eyes of public scrutiny. Folks, I'm afraid we have tunnel vision, time to regroup. So the technical sources that Sussman was using to conjure up this nonsense had serious doubts at the time, and they were overruled. Yeah, it's a disgrace that this was, but that this came out, just a week before the election to smear a presidential candidate.
And it was part of a more overarching narrative that was the predicate for Spygate.
Yes, that's right. We're just getting started with this. Because we're going to find out that basically most American institutions were corrupted in service of this plan to spy on candidate Donald Trump and smear candidate Donald Trump so that he could not possibly win election in 2016. And there's a lot of high treason in there. There's a lot of sedition, and there are one or two murders. And I fully expect that Durham has got all these in hand and that he's just getting started with what he has to say.
We have these kind of low-level lawyers like Kevin Kleinsmith and Sussman getting indicted first. I mean, isn't Durham experienced with organized crime? And this is what he does. This is how he rolls up the organization. He starts with the very lowest level people, gets them to flip, right? Gets them to, get some type of agreement where they get a lesser charge, like just lying to the FBI and not some kind of big criminal charge. And then they tattletale on their superiors, right? Because Sussman, he was working for Clinton. So he probably tattled on the Clinton campaign. And then you just go to the middle fish. And then eventually you get to the big fish, like the Hillary Clintons and the Podestas and the executives of these contracting companies and so forth. So what are your thoughts, Paul?
I think that's exactly right. That's exactly what he's doing. Durham is a very experienced prosecutor, and he's been doing this for a long time now. The complaints seem to be morphing. I don't know if you've noticed. First it was, where's Durham? And now it's, oh, there he is. But what is he doing? No, he's convening federal grand juries. Okay, but yeah, he can't get anyone to appear them. Oh, he's been subpoenaing people to appear at them. Oh, that's interesting. Nothing will come of it. Oh, whoops, there's an indictment. Some lawyer just got indicted. And the indictment is absolutely devastating to the Clinton campaign, but the lawyer only seems to be in charge with lying to the FBI. I wonder if maybe that lawyer made a deal and now the big fish, as you say, the big fish are going to be indicted. Because this is you're dead right. This is exactly how it works. The small fish get pulled in and they're used as bait for the bigger fish. I expect...
Can I interject just a quick comment? In terms of chatter on the communication systems, and I don't mean just the internet, but I mean the higher level communication systems. A lot of times, my understanding is that they will drop these little flags. They'll make a small indictment, as you were saying, but what they really want is to monitor the chatter that those that they're really after can't avoid doing, and that a lot of times they give themselves away and confess to things over these picked up chats that are more damaging than anything. So it's like, do something, get them all talking, and then go out there and glean the fields.
Yeah, good point. This is ongoing. And we all found out about this before it actually happened. You know, as often happens with politics and stuff, you know, you have someone has a source and they either purposefully or accidentally leak this information. This is most definitely purposeful. So we found out about this yesterday morning, and then it didn't happen till yesterday afternoon. So that gives you all day to, first of all, look at the Perkins Coie website, see what they do with Sussman's profile page as partner.
He's gone.
And but also just to, Jim, you could maybe observe what people are saying about this stuff. That's a good point as well. But sorry, Paul, you can keep on going if you had anything further to say.
Well, I was just going to agree with what you said, that we're going to see more and more indictments, and the fish will get bigger and bigger. Now, the media has a serious problem because those bigger fish are their media commentators, aren't they? The people like the people like Brennan and Clapper and Strzok and McCabe. How are the media going to commentate on that when, you know, those are the people in the crosshairs of the next indictments? How are the media going to commentate when people in the media themselves get indicted for leaking classified information or being involved in a conspiracy to smear a presidential campaign candidate? Yeah, this is about to get very, very uncomfortable for the mainstream media.
They might just do a blackout, just not talk about it. I mean, I don't know what other option they have, except for maybe we've got white hats in these organizations and they're going to be forced to cover this stuff. But then, the deep state's going to try to shut down information channels. I mean, that's why this ramps up so fast, right? That's why I see the white hats slow playing, like super, super slow playing their hand here, right? Because they know that if they start being aggressive, then the deep state will ramp up to their end game super fast, which involves, you know, the blackouts, perhaps, you know, shutting down grid, electricity, internet, communications. And then all of a sudden you have to go kinetic to solve the problem, which they probably don't want to do right away. They want to wake up people first.
Yeah, it's difficult to know how the other side is going to react. I think they're not particularly smart. They're clever and manipulative. They're clever and manipulative, and they have millennia of manipulating people and being secretive and doing evil. But they're not particularly flexible. I mean, these plans, for instance, you know, the plans to release a pandemic were planned decades in advance. So they're not very flexible on the battlefield. And we are in a war right now. It may not be a kinetic war, but we are definitely in an information war and a war for the hearts and minds of ordinary citizens, particularly in America. And I think that their weaknesses are going to be exposed when they just get hit one after another with all these revelations. I said on Gab earlier earlier this afternoon, I said that, sorry, lost my train of thought. Yeah, I beg your pardon. I said that yesterday was a marker. It was a marker that things are happening. Durham releases an indictment. Next Friday is the next marker, Arizona results, which we're going to get to in the show. That is the next marker. And then after that, there's probably going to be a massive marker every week for months and months and months and months. Treason, sedition, child trafficking, all the accusations of Pizzagate, all the crimes of Hollywood, all the crimes of the elites in DC. Every week, maybe every few days, we're just going to start getting hammered with what the good guys have been up to behind the scenes because they're ready to release it. And yeah, something to look forward to.
Absolutely. Jim and I have been, you know, talking about this warehouse of ammunition that the White Hats have, but they haven't really been using for a long time. And not only were they not using it, they just kept on accumulating more ammunition. And so that is very frustrating to Patriots on the ground who are not part of this this operation at a high level. You know, we're foot soldiers in the information war. We're just doing what we can do to wake people up. But we don't have access to their battle plans. And so we get frustrated. We get impatient. But I think I really learned from you, Paul, that the wheels of justice, and they turn very slowly. And so do things in politics. And so you do have to wait a lot longer than you think you have to wait for some things to happen. And an example is Julian Assange case. Another example, Ghislaine Maxwell case. You know, another example that Alexandra Bruce brought up last night on Making Sense of the Madness is the Charles Lieber case. This is the Harvard scientist that was caught with his associates trying to get vials of who knows what COVID-19 in a bottle out of Boston Airport. And he was on the dole from the Chinese Communist Party creating nanotechnology bioweapons. I mean, this guy's already been indicted and he's just been awaiting trial for all this time. So that's another thing that can come out. The Anthony Weiner laptop, that never came out, right? Like Hunter Biden laptop.
Hunter Biden's laptop, yeah.
Well, all of these laptops and servers.
Which Hunter Biden laptop? Because there's more than one.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing for me is I have to keep reminding myself that what we're looking at here is the actual battlefield. Guns are being fired. You can see the faces of the people shooting, but they're not who we're really after. They're just foot soldiers. Pelosi, you know, Brennan, Clapper, Clinton. They're all the people we know. But we're not fighting this war against the people we know. We're fighting this war against the people that those people work
the,
for.
The puppet masters. The George Soros, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the royal families.
And names that even I didn't know, Pesor and stuff like that. So, but, you know, Trump and the White Hats, they know more than anybody who these people are and what they do and how they do it. And so the fact that they're taking their sweet time to move through this process, I'm like, good enough. You do what you think you need to do, because we know who the real criminals are, who really call the shots. And they're the ones that need to be taken out permanently. No return ever. And that is going to take some doing.
Right. Go ahead, Paul.
Sorry, I was just going to say just a quick one. Jim is dead on, but I think it's a very important part of the process is that all of us ordinary people need to remove their influence from every aspect of society. So right from the very, we're fighting the public face of the cult that runs the world, but they've got their tentacles into just about every aspect of Western civilization. And it's going to be up to us to get their influence out. You know, we're going to have
to fight. There's a grassroots aspect of it.
Yeah, from school boards upwards. I mean, I'm very encouraged to see just how involved ordinary patriots have got in like local elections. It's amazing. In the last
it scares the
months,
crap out of the Democrats when we have a precinct level strategy.
I know. And you see the media starting to worry. This is really worrying. Ordinary Republican voters are getting involved at local level.
These Trump people aren't going away and shutting up and being quiet.
Yeah,
they don't get it that Trump isn't just this cult of personality. It is this true conservative movement of liberty and constitutionality that they can't seem to figure out that that's what Trump and MAGA and America First is what it all represents. It really has nothing to do with this, you know, blustery guy with fake skin color and
Yeah, right.
There's something I wanted to talk about related to the White Hats having this ammunition and what our role is in it. But I lost my train of thought. So if someone else wants to pipe in, they can.
Well, what do people think of Arizona? Go for it, Jim.
Well, see, again, that was the boogeyman all along. I mean, look at what was going on in the background all the while the audits were taking place. You could see their reaction, and they were constantly reacting to that. And then look at Afghanistan. It's like, okay, they just one-upped themselves on that front, but it was still, you know, to distract from the Arizona audits, but to also kill a few more birds with that stone as well, in terms of turning over military hardware and resource assets to China. So it's like what they were going to do anyway, they're just now put on fast track. Throw as much of our national resources at China and see how much they'll be able to grab out of the air before the inevitable happens, which they know to be Trump coming back and the game is over. So they're hopefully they can do as much damage as possible. And then Trump, of course, has to go to China and say, all right, give it all back. You know,
so right. They probably have it all GPS located anyway. Hopefully. I remember now what I was going to say, which is just what the White Hats want. They actually want to, in my mind, you know, my opinion, the speculating on this, it seems like the White Hats actually want this to be a slow, controlled demolition. You know, they don't necessarily want this to go turn into chaos, civil war, infighting with American citizens, false flag attacks, hurting innocent people, confusion, things that can happen with people, with their health related to the vaccines and hospitalizations and different things. There's the White Hats, they want this to go the way Paul described it, which is Friday, boom, next Friday, another boom, and then the next Friday, another boom. And it just keeps on boom, boom, boom. And the public awakens and awakens and awakens and awakens. And more of the power structure gets compromised, gets accused and prosecuted. And then, you know, just like a controlled demolition, floor by floor, it starts falling down. That's what they want. And at the same time, you know, the dark hats, whatever you want to call the bad guys, they're also desperate. They don't necessarily want it to go kinetic or to go, to the end game right away either, because that's desperation on their part. You know, they don't actually have the resources. The whole point of all of this is that the White Hats have control over the nukes and over the weapons of mass destruction and the advanced technology and the military industrial complex. So it's been checkmate and game over ever since the White Hats got control over that. But we have to go through the process of them moving all the pieces to get to the checkmate part. And so the bad actors here, they don't want to get to the end that fast either, because they know that it's checkmate with the kinetic stuff. At the same time, they know that when the public awakens to the, I mean, right now we're at the point where the public is screaming F Biden at major sporting events, right? So it's happening right now in America, but you still have people lining up to get vaccines and booster shots, and they're still wearing their masks and stuff. So it's not super awake yet. But they know, the dark hats know, that if these booms keep on happening and the public awakens and awakens and awakens, it gets to this point of no return where the public will destroy the power structure by themselves. They don't even need nukes. They don't even need the military industrial complex. We will handle it all ourselves. We'll be so awake and so weaponized with knowledge that we will take care of, you know, restructuring society ourselves. So I see this ramping up very fast. It's like this curve that goes exponential, right? So it's like boom, 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 right? So it does end up getting to that point where the bad actors have to, out of desperation, shut down communication channels.
Yeah, but see, and here's the whole thing about getting this done the right way, where we really mitigate loss of life, and that is non-compliance. You know, I come from the Martin Luther King, form of non-compliance. Put my body on the line and say, no, I'm not moving. You're going to have to drag me to the truck and take me to jail because I'm not moving. I'm not going to help you arrest me for something that I did not do or I'm not responsible for doing. Anyway, noncompliance is extremely powerful. The concept is extremely powerful. So I hope I'm seeing, and I hope to see that ramp up as well, where people are all getting together and looking at each other and agreeing, yeah, let's not do that. Yeah, let's not go there. Let's not shop. We don't need to buy that.
It's happening, not so much in the U.S., but it's happening in Australia and in Europe, and I think the U.S. is next.
And I think the best thing that we as journalists or whatever we want to call ourselves is to remind people that they have enormous power inherently in themselves through noncompliance, and they need to understand how powerful that really is.
And people feel like they have a lot to lose by being noncompliant. And technically, on a very technical level, they do. You know, you can lose your job. You can lose the ability to have your kids be babysat by communists in school. You know, you can lose the right to a healthcare system where they're trying to murder you through the protocols in the hospitals. So everything you have to lose is actually something you probably don't even want. So that's when you realize that you're not losing anything, you're gaining freedom and health and all these great things, then that's when I think the noncompliance will really move up. But that's why I think Andrew Torba's message of parallel economy is so powerful, because people feel so dependent on this machine, you know, corporate America, whatever you want to call it, for their livelihood, to feed their families and everything. And they feel like, well, I have to obey to collect the paycheck, to pay, to feed the kids, to stay alive. And it's all survivalistic. Mm. And that's their control mechanism. But as soon as you say, I don't care, go ahead, fire me.
I'm no longer afraid.
I'm going to sue you. If you fire me, it's unconstitutional. I'm going to sue you. I'll make money. You'll lose money. And you just flip the script on them. And I know it's not that easy. You have to figure out a way to provide. And so, you know, there's lots of ways. People have been creating their own businesses and exchanging value between each other. The crypto world is an alternative financial system that the deep state doesn't necessarily have to have their tentacles in, although they do in these big exchanges. But you can keep your crypto completely private on your own hardware and everything. So that's another option for you. And Andrew Torba's, he's backing it up with an actual plan. He has a Novax job board on Gab. You can offer jobs. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, apply to jobs. It's the whole economy can basically be created right there. He's also releasing Gab Pay, so it's a way to pay people. So you know, this is happening right now. It's time to get prepared, because like I said before, this ramps up exponentially to where they shut down our communications and possibly other, you know, supply chain and distribution things related to food and water and healthcare and energy and all these things that are really important for survival. So don't want to sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist, paranoid person, but we're in really unprecedented times here. This is like an unconventional war that, you know, once you wake up to it happening, you start to say, hey, you know, if we're at war, I should probably prepare.
Yeah. Put a figurative helmet on. Yeah, no, it's human psyche wants to be part of the tribe. If they look around and they see suddenly they're going to wake up one morning and it's going to hit them. Holy crap. Every time I turn around, I'm talking to somebody. They're saying the same thing. They're not doing this anymore. They're not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. And at first it's going to be like, holy crap, this is big change. And that scares me. But then they're like, but there's still people I know. And now I can be in that tribe and it's not that big a shift. There's your acceleration.
You know, this is why the F Biden chants are so powerful.
Oh,
when you get a stadium of 100,000 people and they're all chanting F Biden, it's like, okay, they realize it's switched. The whole public consciousness, the opinion about this regime and the status quo and everything, because Biden represents lockdowns and masks and vaccines. He represents it all. So when they say F Biden, they're really also saying F masks, F lockdowns, F vaccines. Yeah.
He also represents General Milley's terrible actions in Afghanistan. That came out this week that, you know.
This is really, really huge news. Yeah. I mean, here's what's the huge part that I really try to emphasize on making sense of the madness. is that Milley has not denied. He hasn't denied this. Milley has been accused in a public book by Bob Woodward of calling up our biggest adversary and saying, hey, if we ever are going to do a strike, I'll let you know in advance. What? So they can strike us first? And then he also told the chain of command not to follow the commander-in-chief's orders related to, once again, the most important aspect of warfare, the weapons of mass destruction.
Which is treason, because the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has no command authority.
Yeah, he's an advisor to the president.
He
stepped out of his role. He didn't have permission from Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller, who's gone on record and said he was not authorized to call China and do that. Obviously, he wasn't authorized to tell the chain of command to disobey the commander in chief. So Milley puts out an official statement saying, like, not categorically denying any of the accusations, just merely saying, yeah, I made the phone call and I was by the book. I didn't do anything wrong. So to me, this is playing out exactly with the way the White Hats want. You know, this is just like, look at how this was foreshadowed. Remember when Tucker Carlson called Milley a pig and like everyone was like, how dare you denigrate our generals? And we're like, denigrate generals? Like, aren't you the people who have been like shitting on General Flynn for the past 2 years? And so we've got them on record saying Milley's the greatest, respect Milley. And then this comes out and Milley looks like the pig that he is. And so this looks really bad on the mainstream media, on Biden, on his military apparatus. So, you know.
Well, yeah. Again, notice that the military individuals are executive branch people, not the main commanders in chief. And again, here's where devolution comes in, because that explains that separation. So they're taking out our people, the White Hats, are taking out the executive branch military people one by one. And I think absolutely it's part of the plan. And it's just, going through final execution.
It could also be, and I mean, I think this is quite likely, that they're fighting amongst themselves in the background.
Right. Yeah. I
have a very good source that says that the plan was that, the withdrawal would be completed on September the 11th, and that all would be cool and Biden and Milley would bask in the glory. But unfortunately, a bunch of senior officers in the Pentagon lied to Milley and Biden about how the withdrawal was going. They said, it'll be cool. And meanwhile, they knew very well that it wasn't. So, of course, the disaster happened with Afghanistan. And these guys have Biden and Milley on tape talking about the plan. And, of course, the person behind this is Harris. She's the one who wants to take over Biden's position, because her puppet master, whoever that is, I really don't know. It's not clear to me, is going to make sure that, Joe and Milley go down for Afghanistan and all his other.
We can't say that the White Hats are like controlling everything, although it is a possibility that this is part of their plan and they were like kind of forcing the hand to happen that way.
I think there's also definitely allowed for it. Yeah.
There's also the possibility that Paul's mentioning that they're going to have their sacrificial lambs, right? Someone to just scapegoat, whatever. So economy crashes, blame it on Biden, make Kamala president. Or Afghanistan problem happens, blame it on Milley, put in somebody else that we wanted to have in there.
I think you both are right on this. And for example, that book that just came out by Woodward, he's CIA. Everybody knows it. And he held on to that information for quite a while before that book came out. So that's clearly a situational opportunity to take Milley out at their time and place of choosing. So I look at that whole thing as a perfect example of, we're gonna feed Milley to the hounds and get something useful out of that process.
Right. I have another example, which is that George Soros penned an op-ed against China and against the Chinese Communist Party and the president, Xi Jinping. So, obviously, if I don't know if the White Hats penned that or if it was really George Soros and they're the deep state's infighting with each other. You know, also, this is kind of a lot lower level on the Hollywood entertainment side, but this whole thing with the most famous female rapper in America, Nicki Minaj, coming out as kind of anti-vaccine, questioning the vaccine narrative on Twitter, getting put in Twitter jail. She's been approached by the White House. They're going to, they said they would educate her on the safety and effectiveness of vaccines. Her supporters are protesting in the streets against vaccine censorship. Like, this is the first time in America that people are protesting vaccine censorship because a rapper is talking about it. A rapper who has been glorifying sex and violence and all this deep state crap for a decade.
Following of 70 million people.
Right.
That's not insignificant.
So, and also Kanye West, you know, he's kind of been in the deep state and then turned on to be on Trump's side and everything. So you have these deep state assets that are turning against each other. And that's what warfare is, right, Paul? I mean, that's kind of your point, is that there has to be infighting on their side.
Yeah, certainly chaos and confusion to some degree.
Yeah, I wonder who's behind Biden and Harris. Is it Obama? Is it Soros? Is it?
Well, I think it's two different entities. I think Biden has backers, so like Barry is in the background there, and his puppet masters. And then I think Harris, it's someone else. So who, I'm not sure, but I don't think that they have the same teams behind them. Globalists, the one thing I learned very quickly, well, early on when I was started getting into globalism, was that there are a number of globalist groups. Some of them get on with each other. Some of them hate each other. Some of them will work together if they have similar goals. Some of them will never work with them. So, yeah, it's not just this big monolithic hierarchy at the top, although actually at the very, very top it is. But, you know, when you see Soros penning something against Xi, then you know that that's two, the Chinese globalists and the Soros and the Rothschild globalists have had a falling out. So that, you know, that's how you interpret that. So, yeah, it's possible that Joe and Kamala have basically different figures behind the curtain. Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, certainly Obama's dynasty represented some kind of Muslim Brotherhood, Iranian thing also seemed to be involved there, because Iran was involved with Kerry and his intermarriage with the Kerry family as well. And then, of course, you had Huma Abedin being the assistant of Hillary Clinton. So there was some kind of marriage in there with the Muslim Brotherhood and possibly, I don't know, because, you know, Muslims don't all get along with each other. You got Saudi Arabia hates Iran and all that stuff. So then the Saudi Arabia, they had the Bushes and the Bin Ladens and the royal family. They were all together. But then Trump somehow, you know, got Saudi Arabia to like imprison half the royal family. And so it seems like white hats are in charge of Saudi Arabia now.
Well, if a sword dance means anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, what is it? Alawid bin Talal, you know, he was one of the puppet masters of the world. He was calling the shots on Twitter and big tech and who knows what else. Now
he put Barry into Harvard. That was a big turnabout when Trump did the world tour, the Trump's pedophile file world tour. That, to me, was like a major turning point, major, major, major. And then you look at all the follow-on executive orders, it was just like, whoa, this is quite unbelievable.
In other news this week, Australia, which seems to be just a dog on the leash for China recently, they nixed a $90 billion military deal with France and joined the Americans and the Brits with nuclear powered submarines, and China threw a freaking fit about it in the public relations. So that's an interesting thing too, because the way I interpret that is that this division between military and administrative is not just in the US. that deal with Australia and America, that was good for the White Hats if China's complaining about it. And so maybe they, although most of Australia is compromised by the deep state, maybe some of their military is still with the White Hats.
But doesn't that a deal like that have to be okayed by the combat commanders? I mean, they hold the keys. There's no way they're going to not, lay down and let that kind of crap happen under their watch. And again, I think that's the importance of the division of the military power between the executive branch and those serving under commander-in-chief. So I cannot see them doing their job and what they've been doing if they were to okay that themselves. So I think that they were probably the ones that said, you're not doing that. And that was it. That was the end of it. But I could be wrong. I'm speculating here. But again, I put a lot of emphasis on military people and what they do and how they do it and why they do it. And so and I think that's an important aspect of this whole thing.
North Korea just shot 2 test ballistic missiles towards Japan this week. And there was another. China came within 48 nautical miles of Alaska's islands last month, and it was just reported. There's just this growing tension with China, North Korea, Japan, America. And I don't like this. The way China reacted to this Australian submarine deal was like they said Australia is trying to be a superpower counter to China. So that was really interesting to hear them say that.
No, it does sound like they were caught blindsided, but you know, these things are getting complicated.
China is acting exceedingly belligerent in the past month or so. It put out an official statement in the countrywide daily newspaper that America has declared war against China with the bioweapon that it came up with and infected us all. Because obviously, you know, communists always lie about everything. So that's exactly the opposite of what happened. But
right.
China itself.
You can spin it either way, right? I mean, well, obviously, some Americans were involved with funding and all that stuff.
True enough.
And maybe Canadians.
I mean, China is fighting a war against you on multiple fronts. They're about to try and take over Taiwan militarily. There's the bioweapon, Corona-chan. There's the economic attacks. There's the drug attacks. You know, where they'll ship 20 tons of fentanyl into a U.S. harbor. There's, the weapon supplying of Antifa. There's all sorts of ways in which China is engaged in open war against the U.S., except it's not quite open. It's all in the background, and it's underhanded. I think that is a large contributor to the global tension you point out there, Sean, that, China's in the background and it's behaving increasingly out of control. And I think that forms the backdrop to everything that we're looking at the moment. And it can make you nervous.
Yeah, I think that this is very important to talk about. This is a good thing to just round out the conversation. If we go back to World War II, this is one of those pivotal times in human history that changed the power structure forever. And it was basically this story of two sides, right? It was the Allies versus the Axis, and the Allies, stood for the freedom and democracy, and the Axis stood for fascism and military control and stuff. And it was basically, although there were Italians and different people involved, it was basically Germany and Japan on the Axis side. And they were turned into the scapegoats. They were turned into the Nazis and the Japanese. They're bad people. They have a bad system. They do evil things. And everything. And so, and America's great, and we're saviors, and we're awesome and everything. And I think we have a similar type of narrative that both sides are trying to seed right now. And China, as you pointed out, Paul, they're trying to point out that America's the enemy. It's their fault. They're the ones who are trying to kill everyone with this virus. And what did Trump call the virus as soon as it came out? Where did he shut down the... Yeah, right. Right. Where did he shut down the flights?
Yeah.
He called it the China virus, right? Mm-hmm. And even when Trump was running for president, he ran on an anti-China campaign ticket. So this narrative has been seeded, and Trump has been just trying to create this patriotic fervency in our country of people to believe America is great, what we stand for is great. And it's been working, you know, despite the fact that the deep state has been trying to act like the American flag is a symbol that represents slavery and racism and all this stupid stuff. I think this is going to be the final narrative in all of this is America versus China and American values versus Chinese values. And that China, I believe, this is my prediction, China will be the scapegoat. The Chinese Communist Party will fall, just like the Nazis fell and just like Imperial Japan fell, and they will be replaced and built up, you know, without being allowed to have weapons in the same way that Japan and China, they had to agree to those kind of demilitarization agreements. So there's the Sean Morgan prediction for World War III.
Well, I look at China and I just see the U.S. with an Asian face. It's like they have their deep state. They have their white hats. They have their, it's all the same. And so it's like, you know, it's all going to depend on, you know, how the dark hats look at what's happening and realize that it's all riding on China for them.
Yeah, that's, I'm kind of getting at the propaganda and the public relations of war, not the reality, because the reality is that, you know, it was probably a crime against humanity when we dropped nukes on, you know, Japan. So it's not like Americans are these angels that never do any wrong, right? And same thing. It's not like Japanese and German people or Chinese people are evil. It has nothing to do with that. But as far as like the overarching narrative that happens with wars, that's my prediction. And that the people like Fauci and Bill Gates, and of course they'll be demonized and everything, but it won't be America that's demonized. It won't be us as a symbol that will end up falling in this, in my prediction. Yeah. Thanks for joining me today, guys. Make sure you follow Paul Ferber on Gab. It's at Paul F. He's going to be, you know, releasing his research all the time there. And you can go to paulferber.net, where he has a free book about the Q Intel operation. And you have other resources on that website, more to come. Paul was just laid off. A technology worker. I mean, this guy, it's hard for him to get a job when he's so outspoken about freedom and liberty and all these Western values. So if you want to support Paul Ferber with his great work he's doing, then you can go to the description below, send him a donation, pick up his free book, and support Paul Ferber and all he's doing. And Jim has a new website coming out soon. We're going to keep you updated with that. Make sure you go to SeanMorganReport.com, sign up for the email list. God bless all you patriots. We'll see you next week. Gold is near all-time highs. Has it reached its peak? Did you miss the boat? No, I don't think so. The exploding debt, change in the interest rate cycle, political and economic turmoil have caused the current move in gold. And those things are getting worse. In fact, Citibank projected gold to hit $3,000 an ounce over the next 12 to 18 months. I encourage you to protect and grow your investment portfolio with gold. I trust Dr. Kirk Elliott with Sovereign Advisors. With over 25 years of experience and two PhDs, Kirk Elliott is the best of the best in the industry. Call his office at 720-605-3900 and tell him Sean Morgan sent you, or just click on the link in the description to get that free consultation.